The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Leftovers. They can be great or not so hot. Literally. You know what I mean. There are a few meals that get better on the second or third tries. Soup, chili, things like that. But most of the others don't do quite so well when they're warmed up in the old microwave. Oh, we eat them, but not with the same relish or gusto as when they're newly prepared, fresh, or right from the oven. Well, that's a little like preaching on Wednesday after Easter. Leftovers. Now, don't get me wrong. Really, it's always a privilege to preach the gospel. It's always a wonderful thing to proclaim the good news. And especially here in Cramer Chapel, where our cantors and our musicians do such a wonderful job of keeping the Easter spirit alive for weeks following the big day. But nonetheless, some of you know this firsthand, but nonetheless, there is nothing in the life of a preacher that is any greater than entering the pulpit on Easter Sunday to proclaim the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And 3 days later, well, it's not quite the same. The crowds are gone, the Easter finery is back in the closet, school has resumed, and work awaits us. Compared to Sunday, it certainly feels like leftovers. And yet, that's not really true, is it? At least from God's point of view. Oh, our feelings, well, they come and they go. Our enthusiasm rises and it wanes. Our emotions take us in one direction and in the next. But not God, says the apostle. He is faithful. He cannot deny himself. And that means that with God, it is always Easter. Now, I suppose that all of us are familiar with the Apostle St. Paul's summary of his preaching as he gives it to us in 1 Corinthians. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. But in this morning's reading from 2 Timothy, the apostle puts it a little differently. Remember Jesus Christ, he says, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. The gospel, then, is not just about the cross, but also about the Easter tomb. It's not just about Good Friday, crucifixion, sacrifice, and atonement, but about Easter, resurrection, victory, and triumph. Now, of course, neither of these makes any real sense without the other, as indeed the apostle points out in still another place. Jesus Christ was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Nonetheless, a lot of Lutheran preaching, and here actually I'm including myself, emphasizes the former and not the latter. After all, we talk all the time about the theology of the cross, not the theology of resurrection. But this text, and especially the Easter season, function as a kind of corrective, or at least provide some balance to otherwise one-sided preaching. For it's the resurrection that proves our hope. It's Easter that guarantees the gospel. It's the risen Christ who validates Good Friday. Just think back to the very first gospel promise, that one addressed to the serpent in the Garden of Eden. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers, he will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. Now, when did our Lord crush the head of Satan? I suppose one could say Good Friday, given the significance of Christ's death, but is that really the best answer? I mean, as long as Jesus remained dead, didn't it at least look as if Satan had won? If death is the penalty for sin, and Jesus is dead, hasn't sin triumphed? Doesn't the prince of this world still reign? So when did that end? When did hell, as well as heaven, realize that Christ had overthrown sin, death, and devil? Well, certainly Easter, when he was made alive by the Spirit and by that same Spirit preached to the disobedient souls in hell, showing himself alive and victorious over everything that the devil could hurl against him, of course. Or consider God's promises to King David. In this morning's reading, Paul singles out Jesus as a descendant of David, and this is certainly more than simply a reference to Jesus' human nature, because Jesus was the one in whom God's promises to David were finally fulfilled. But what were those promises? Listen to what God said to David through Nathan the prophet. I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. An eternal kingdom, one without end, forever. That's what God promised to David. And it was a tremendous promise. But you know, for a long, long time, it looked like a promise that God was not going to keep. For things went bad, very bad, with the house of David. Indeed, some 6 centuries before the birth of Jesus, they lost their throne. But God is faithful even when we are not. So in spite of the fact that the descendants of David were a pretty miserable lot, I mean, most of them we don't know anything about, and the ones that we do know about, the kings of Judah, with notable exceptions, a pretty bad group. Well, in spite of all that, what happened? God kept his word and established David's kingdom forever. But when did he do that? When did it take place? Well, quite clearly, in the resurrection of Jesus. For unlike those miracles of resurrection that Jesus performed during his own ministry, the widow's son, Jairus' daughter, even Lazarus, who, though all risen, had to die again, Jesus arose from the tomb never to die anymore, but instead to do what? To live, to rule, to reign, and not just over a small chunk of the earth's globe, but over the entire earth, the entire universe, and not just as David's son, but as God's son forever. You see, the resurrection is the key to everything. Without it, Christ is a fraud, not a savior. Without it, baptism and the Lord's Supper are silly ceremonies, not means of grace. Without it, the gospel, the very gospel, is a lie. And you and I are still in our sins. Hell is our future. The grave is our lot. There's no point to anything that we do, say, or accomplish. Life is empty. Life is a big joke. And the whole universe is laughing at foolish humanity, and especially stupid Christians, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But that's not how it is. The resurrection is real. On the third day, Jesus Christ arose from the dead and showed himself alive to dozens of witnesses, people like you and me, who saw him risen from the dead. Jesus lives. And it all happened because God is faithful. We're not, but God is. So Jesus said he would suffer, die, and rise again. And he did. And God promised a Savior to Adam and Eve, to David, to all of the Old Testament saints. He promised a Savior who would triumph over sin, death, and devil on behalf of humanity, and that Savior came. But now, listen to this. Because that same truth-telling, promise-keeping God says to us, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Now that's pretty nice. To live, to reign with Jesus forever. But can we believe it? That's the question. But of course we can. God is faithful. Jesus lives. That's the gospel message. It's not leftovers. And it's true not just on Easter Sunday. It's true right now, today. Jesus lives. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen.